Good morning and welcome to The Morning Show, the Tuesday edition with hosts Phil Huff. And across from me should be Julie Calamine. And if you're missing her after 3 weeks, so am I. She's at home today with a little bit of a cold, and better she not come in and share it with our guests. Right, guys?
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
We've got a fun show this morning anyway. We're going to talk hiking, and there's a lot of space to fill, and we've got a lot of people here to fill it. First, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming weather. No surprises here. It's snow in the forecast. Today, 80% chance of snow with a high of 34 degrees. Tonight, a low of 27 with a continued chance of snow. Then tomorrow, we start a winter storm watch about midday with a chance of snow, then snow rain, a high of 38. Sounds like we could be getting a little slushy, turn to icy by the time it hits 31 tomorrow night. And that just continues on through Wednesday and Thursday with snow or snow rain or more of or rain snow. It's just continuing, Tom. How's your driveway looking?
Oh, it's deep.
Well, I think that's everybody's. I don't know. The skiers are probably real happy, those who can stay upright. But the rest of us, I'm tired of dealing with the driveway. I just assume we actually hit spring thaw. Mm-hmm. So with us in the studios today, we have two guests who are probably familiar to many of the longtime Morning Show listeners. But for those who are tuning in for the first time or her new listeners, we have Bob Turner, a former president with the American Long Distance Hiking Association West. Good morning, Bob.
Hello.
And Tom Dabrowski, president of Idaho Trails Association.
Good morning.
And so we're here to talk about hiking and real specifically about the upcoming Long Distance Hiker Seminar, a RUC, this weekend. But before we get to the event, let's talk a little bit about your backgrounds and just the general realm of hiking and long distance hiking. Why don't you take us away, Bob?
My background in hiking? Well, I started in Boy Scouts. I had the pleasure of being in Colorado Springs, and our Scoutmasters came from Fort Carson and the Air Force Academy, and we had outings all the time. Probably twice a month, we went somewhere, and so that got me started, I think. Since then, I've stayed with it, spent summers hiking with the kids. The family, my two kids, my wife and I, hiked all of Washington and Oregon over a number of summers.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into the realm of long distance hiking?
Well, we did Oregon all in one piece, and we did Washington in sections. And
so now you say you did those states, you're talking about a specific trail.
On the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. And it, actually, when we hiked a section in Washington, and when we got up to Rainy Pass, my daughter wanted to know, you know, where this trail went because it continued. And we said, well, it goes all the way to Canada. Well, where did it start? It started at Mexico. And so she goes, I'm going to do that. I want to do that someday. Well, we'd been section hiking, so I figured that's what we would do, you know. And that would have been about 94. And, you know, 3 years later, we hiked the Pacific Crest Trail together.
I'm reading a great book right now about Grandma Gatewood, who was the first woman to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail back in the 1950s, and only the sixth person overall to do it. And it reminded me of many things I'd heard about the AT, which start with, it was never envisioned as a trail for a thru-hiker. And even then, a decade into that kind of experience, it was really surprising to see someone doing that. The founders of the trail, the builders of the trail, most of the early hikers of the trail saw it as a day hike or a section hike that they never thought someone would leave Georgia and end up in Maine.
Yeah, right. But the AT really lends itself to that type of travel of the section hiking because it's so accessible.
Yeah. So. And I think it underscores, too, there's a lot of different ways to approach the outdoor experience. And whether it's on trail or off trail, there's a whole range of ways we can go about the sport, and some of those involve day hikes, and some of those involve many day hikes or many hikes of many days.
Yes, yeah.
Tom, let's turn to you. Tell us a little bit about your hiking pedigree and interests.
Yes. Well, I started at about 10 years old when my mom would take. I lived in Connecticut when my mom would take me to a local section of the Appalachian Trail, the AT, and I remember there was a beautiful section that we could hike up. 2 or 3 miles, and there was an old lean-to up there, and there was a beautiful stream with little brook trout in it, and we'd fish for the brook trout and stay in the lean-to, and the thing I learned about the AT is it's not like the Pacific Crest Trail. the AT doesn't have switchbacks. I mean, it is. People think, well, it's in the East, you know, it's not going to be tough like our Western trails, but it is.
Yeah,
it's straight up and down in places. Anyway, I went to undergraduate school in Illinois. Tough to find places to hike there. Went to graduate school in the West, which is where I wanted to be, and then started climbing mountains. So involved in that mountain climbing, there could be some long approach hikes, and continue to climb mountains, but I really enjoy the hiking, and mostly section hiking. The longest trip I've done is 31 days in the wilderness. I went in and didn't come out for 31 days, and that was quite an experience. People say, how did you carry that much food? And I said, I didn't. I had a horse packer bring me in food from every 8 days. But the whole idea was to be in the wilderness, out in the woods, out in the mountains, in the alpine country, and just really, really get to where you leave civilization behind. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Total immersion, which is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And of course, both of you have had long and illustrious careers in business organizing, and now you're lending those skills to organizations. And those organizations doing some really excellent work in terms of helping maintain access to hiking trails and educate folks about them. So why don't you give us a little bit of background about those organizations, because they're really the ones primarily responsible for putting on this weekend's coming up training. So Bob, tell us about Alda.
Alda West, the mission statement says that we are there to educate and promote fellowship with long distance hikers. At a board meeting last fall, one of the board members said, the trail associations are about the trail. We are very different from all the other organizations because Alda West is about the hikers. We have the concerns of the trails, but we are really out there to try and educate hikers for ethical hiking, making hiking more enjoyable, enjoying your time out there to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. How did Alda West get its beginning?
Actually, it was started by Ray Jardine, kind of, I guess you'd call him the father of ultralight hiking, down in Lapine, Oregon, I believe it is, where we started. We went to the second one, and it was at Diamond Lake, and that was the time that he kind of stepped back and said, I'm going to leave this, and it's yours.
For the sake of full disclosure, I think that's the event where you and I met.
Didn't know it.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And the thing that was so outstanding was that was the time that my daughter kind of was thinking that I want to do this whole thing. And she was being encouraged by all these other ladies that were involved in it. And, you know, that was very uncommon. I mean, there weren't that many women out on the trail. And to have all these, people coming in and say, hey, you can do this. Marmot, it still asks about Bug, my daughter. You know?
Yeah, I think that there were not a lot of women then, though some, but also most of the profile of the normal is not a good word for long distance hiker. Typical long distance hiker is a better word. The profile of someone who had a lot of experience hiking, and so they gravitated towards it out of some need and discovered things along the way and stumbled a little bit literally and physically over the logistics and all. And that's where Alda's really stepped in to bring the process to folks who are interested. And so people hiking since then, many of them might be their first real hiking experience.
Right, right.
So, Tom, tell us a little bit about Idaho Trails Association. Give us the thumbnail history here in just a couple minutes.
Yeah, you bet. Idaho Trails Association was started back in 2010 by some really smart people, one of whom, by the way, for full disclosure, is Phil Huff, who's in this room. The idea was that we have some incredible hiking trails in the state of Idaho, and we need to help maintain those trails. There's not enough money in the federal budget to do all of our trails. By the way, there are 10,000 miles of hiking trails in Idaho, just an incredible resource. And what's happening is if we can't maintain the trails, they fall into disrepair, they're no longer safe, and the government abandons the trail. And so they're lost forever. And frankly, we don't have the money to go build many new trails. So what folks decided was to get together a group of volunteers. We're all volunteers. We go out and we help maintain those trails. So as Bob said, Alda West's goal or mission is to focus on the hikers and their experience. Our mission is to focus on the trails here in the state of Idaho. We're patterned after the Washington Trails Association, about 52 or 53 years old, and they have a $4.5 million annual budget raised from grants and other monies. It doesn't come from the taxpayers, and we're nowhere near that amount of money yet, but we're fundraising through different organizations, and we then take that money and we buy food, we buy tools, we hire packers, we hire cooks. So when you go on one of our week-long trips, we'll pack in your gear and your food, and we provide a cook.
It sounds wonderful. The organization has grown so quickly, really, over the years. Mm-hmm. Tell us the scope of things coming up this year, this season.
Yeah, we started, as I said, 2010. We had one project with 13 people. This year, we're going to have 28 projects at least. We're at 28 right now, and we're probably going to get a few more. And last year, we had 215 people working. This year, I'm really shooting for more than 300 people that we get on the trails this year. It's, as you said, Phil, it's grown rapidly. But the reason it's growing so rapidly, twofold. One, there's a huge need because the trails aren't being maintained. And two, people understand that if they want to really enjoy their public lands, we've got to take care of those lands. And one of the things we have to do is maintain the trails. People are really eager to volunteer on these projects.
So I know somebody out there right now is asking, how can I help? How can I show up as a volunteer?
Mm-hmm. Good question. And the answer is, go to our website. It's www.idahotrails.org. And our new 2018 schedule will be out in about a week. And so they can see which projects are there. We have an interactive map. You can see where the projects are. You click on join or sign up for that project. One thing we're asking people to do this year is if you sign up, show up. We had a problem last year where people would sign up for our projects, particularly the week-longs, and then they wouldn't show up. And that causes a real problem. We've spent quite a bit of money to get the food and the packers and the cooks. And then the other thing we lose is that time of that person on the trail. So please sign up, then show up.
Yeah, it's hard to fill at the last minute. You have a number of projects here in North Idaho.
Yes, we do. This year we are going to have, 12 projects in Northern Idaho. Some fun ones. Our first will be May 5th at English Point down near Hayden Lake. It's about a 6-mile loop through the forest, or loops through the forest. It's a great trail to start on because we take people from all walks of life. Then we teach them how to do trail maintenance, and it's pretty simple. We provide the tools, we provide the safety gear, and then we have some of these easier projects at the start. And so by the end of the year, we're working up to more difficult projects. Then the first part of June, June 2nd, National Trails Day. We need to talk about that. National Trails Day, June 2nd, we're going to do Micanic Trail right here in Sandpoint, a hiker-built trail. It's a very popular trail. I've been on that every month of the year. I've never been alone on that trail. And so just an incredible resource.
And if you're short volunteers, you just stand at the trailhead and press people into service.
Well, I've been known to do that. Yeah, people come up to the trail and we hand them a Pulaski, which is a tool, looks like an axe on one end and an adze on the other, and say, here, we're going to show you how to do this. And people really get into it.
So we're very fortunate, and many people listening will know this, but it bears repeating. We're at the literal intersection of two really premier long-distance trails. Mm-hmm. The east to west Pacific Northwest scenic trail that runs from Glacier to the Olympics and right across the panhandle of Idaho up near Bonner's Ferry and across the Selkirk Crest. And at a spot on the Selkirk Crest, It connects with the North to South Idaho Centennial Trail that starts or finishes, depending on which direction you're going, up near the Canadian border north of Priest Lake, and runs north-south across Idaho all the way down to the Nevada border. And what a blessed place we live in. But lots of other trails, too, including segments of those that ITA works on.
Yes. In fact, this summer we will do a project on the very northern end of the Idaho Centennial Trail. It's about 900 miles long, and it ends just a bit short of the Canadian border at American Falls. We're going to work on that part of the trail. By the way, as Bob said, that section hiking is a popular thing nowadays, and the Idaho Centennial Trail has some really beautiful section hikes. Mm-hmm. Very remote, but really pretty.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the other things that's really I marvel at, I've lived here for 18 years now, is how attractive this area is to long distance hikers. And we look at the long distance hiking community, and we're going to delve into that in a moment here. There seem to be places that after their long hikes, folks gravitate to Boulder, Portland, areas down around the San Francisco foothills, North Idaho. We seem to be have a higher percentage of long distance, former long distance hikers than many parts of the country.
Right. I mean, I can probably name off a dozen people if I spend the time thinking. I mean, they are.
Yeah. You know. And so it's a natural location for what's becoming rapidly one of the hallmarks of all the West, the ruck-style trainings. And let's talk just about that in general before we delve into the specifics of this upcoming ruck.
Okay. The kind of the purpose of the ruck is to, and ruck comes from a German word for backpack. That's what they call a ruck. And we took that now in our terms, a ruck is a meeting of
hikers.
So like
a rucksack.
Right, correct. And so now it's a meeting of the hikers. It's designed for backpackers to make their trips more enjoyable. You know, if you go out for 2 or 3 day weekends and you've enjoyed that and you want to press it a little more, we're there to try and help you make that adjustment of, it's not any harder to go for 5 days than it is for three. How to lighten your gear, how to make the trip more enjoyable. And, you talk to people and you say, I'll take off and I've gone 4 or 5 months at a time. And they don't understand that. Well, it's just we don't have to restart. And I tell people that section hike, that I'm too lazy to section hike because once I get started, I don't have to stop and, resupply and go back home and everything. So it's to try and make it more enjoyable for whether it's going to be a week, a month, or months.
And All the West has been doing rucks for some time now.
I believe it's 5 years now at Cascade Ruck down by Portland. And then after their success, we said, well, let's try it up here. And the first year we did it was just kind of word of mouth, and we were overwhelmed by the attendance that we had.
So. And this year, this is the ruck season, really late winter, correct, early spring, because people are thinking about their hiking, and there'll be upcoming rucks also in Colorado and California.
And this year in Bellingham, Washington, first. In fact, Jeff Kish, who is the executive director of the Pacific Northwest Trail Association, is heading that one up, and he will be at our ruck. So there's a good, anybody wanting to deal with the PNT, we've got the man, so come talk to him.
Yeah, and that's one of the things too. The Saturday seminar coming up will also feature presentations by some partner organizations, such as the Pacific Northwest Trail.
Correct, and Idaho Trail Association. We have the Washington Trail Association. Spokane Mountaineers will be there, Friends of Scotchman's Peak. They'll be there.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to come and learn more about what some of the local organizations are doing for hiker education, hiker access, trail maintenance.
Right, and one of the push, we're kind of tying in the National Trails Act with this and trying, we're going to be making a push of giving back. And so we're trying to feature these people because, the trail is there, we enjoy it, but there's a reason it's still there. And then we want to get more people involved in, the organizations that work on the trails.
So this is a really big year. You mentioned the National Trails Act, and I'm happy to go into that, but go ahead.
Oh, well, that was what, 50 years ago?
October 3rd, 1968. Right. On that day, President Johnson signed into law actually 8 or 9 different conservation laws, many of which get lost to the vagaries of history. The two that are most well remembered and probably the most impactful were the National Scenic Trails Act and the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act.
Right. And, you know, when people think of the National Scenic Trails, they think of the Appalachian Continental Divide and the Pacific Crest. Well, that they were the first three. Now there's 11, I believe it is, National Scenic Trails. But then in that act, there's the historic trails and...
The National Recreation Trail System, which has grown to over 1,000 and was really designed to provide long day hikes or short section hikes near major urban centers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it was responsible for providing the stimulus that's really built a system of recreation and scenic trails. And, of course, the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act started with about a dozen, and I think it's up to 400 now, Tom? I don't have the number, but
a bunch.
Some really gems of the places. Also, a place near and dear to your heart came into official formation to that day, the North Cascades National Park.
Yes. Yes, I helped work on that one. I climbed mountains in that area, and... I mean, it is just, it's stunning. I mean, it's just an absolutely incredible place. And the interesting thing about the national parks, sometimes they get quite busy, get lots of people there. The North Cascades National Park is not one of those parks.
Yeah.
It's not overrun with people. And there are places in the North Cascades National Park that probably don't get to see anyone in a year.
I'm laughing because Deb and I took a hike on a trail there about 3 or 4 years ago, that's well off the beaten path, had been built during the Civilian Conservation Corps area. It looked like it hadn't seen a crosscut saw since about 1940.
Mm-hmm. Not unusual. Yeah. And the good news was you had a trail, because there's lots of sections of that park that are completely trailless.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back in a little bit and talk about the specific ruck coming up. But if you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to our hosts, our guests this morning, Tom Dabrowski with Idaho Trails Association, Bob Turner with the American Long Distance Hiking Association. We're talking about trails and hiking and long distance hiking and educating and providing access for hikers, and about the upcoming long distance hiking seminar, a ruck that'll be held this weekend. We're going to get into the details of that in a moment, but for right now, we're going to listen to a little bit of Walking Jim Stoltz, who's one of the song gurus of hiking and all things. Walking Jim Stoltz, the Nevada walking song. And if you've never hiked in Nevada, there are some actually really interesting long-distance hikes there. My wife and I, Deb, did the Ruby Crest Trail last summer, and just absolutely fabulous. Hidden gem.
And the Tahoe Rim Trail, too.
Yep, parts of the Tahoe Rim Trail, and you can do some things that are off-trail. In Nevada, that's a lot easier than in other places. You don't have those pesky trees and things in the way.
One of the important things, I think, is when we talk long trails, some people might be thinking 2,600 miles from Mexico to Canada, but there's also things called long trails that aren't that long. And our beautiful trails. I mean, think about the Wonderland Trail around Mount Rainier.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and one of my favorites is around partway around Mount Adams. There's a beautiful trail that goes almost all the way, not quite, but just, and there's no one on that trail. So
that's a great segue, Tom. We're going to talk a little bit about the agenda for the ruck coming up, and I know one of the ever popular features of that's the breakout session on local trails, some of which vary in length substantially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's jump to this weekend. Bob, tell us the overview of what this weekend's about and, you know, details, when, where, who, why, what.
Okay. The ruck will be held in Hayden, actually, this year at the Eagles on Wyoming. If you're coming into town, you come up 95. It's towards the airport. So it's on the west side of 95, just about a mile, I guess. Big facilities. They've been really wonderful working with, and we're excited to have it there. The agenda is, we'll start off with a little bit of background about national trails, where they came from, how it all came about. We'll break into discussions on preparation. You know, how do people take time off, more than a week? How do you take months off and still pay bills, or, not pay bills? So there'll be that kind of preparation. We'll talk about gear as all usual. We're going to do it a little different. I'm kind of the old man in the group, and I just can't get my weight down there. I mean, when I say that, I'm down to about a 16-pound pack, and, that's without food and water.
Yeah, without food and water, but with all of your gear. That's not just the pack.
Correct.
Oh, I think, I recall some days back gone by of carrying an 8-pound pack that was just the pack.
Oh, yeah, my old Dana was that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I want to show what I carry, and I think I'm pretty light, but I don't compare it to Zippy, who carries an 8-pound pack, and, he covers this, Anyway, so we'll talk about that. One of the big ones is the trail breakouts. Yeah. We have two opportunities where you can sit in on discussion for the Pacific Northwest Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Wonderland Trail is going to be on there, and probably opportunity for the Continental Divide if somebody wants. We're also going to have one during one of those breakouts talk just specifically about how to plan and prepare for section hiking.
Mm-hmm. So let's go a little bit deeper dive into some of those topics. And you're talking about the variety of doing things, and there's no one way to hike a trail. People have different visions, but there's some rough categories that we use these days. A traditional hiker might carry a heavier pack and use certain strategies. And someone who's getting lighter, like you, and I'll claim myself in this, and we'll have a pack that weighs somewhere in the teens with all the gear. And then there's the light and ultra light where, we're getting down to 6-7 pounds for everything except food and water.
Right. Yeah. The big thing is that a lot of what you carry, how much do you really need? And that's, that's a comfort. One of the things that really helped me get rid of some things is you carry in the pack the things you're afraid of. Well, I don't like bugs. So now I always have a tent with this bug netting. That's just the thing for me. Even more so after having tick fever and, but I am fine eating cold food. I don't carry a stove. I can just rehydrate, but that's me. And I wouldn't advocate it to anyone else unless they really feel like they want to try that.
So there's a certain trade-off of comfort. And in some cases, there's certain safety or risk trade-offs, too, that folks should be fully aware of as they're making those decisions.
Correct.
And this will provide information for individuals to come and make their own choices. Tell us about some of the presenters.
If I might interject just a moment, Phil, one of the things that I think is really important to mention here is some people hear ultralight or light, and they're thinking a diminishing of safety. And one of the real values of the ruck is you can go talk to someone that's just walked 2,600 miles, and they did it safely. And so you can lighten your pack, and because my pack base weight's 11 pounds. And I decided after I turned 70, I wasn't going to carry a 40-pound pack anymore. And anyone that's listening to this, if you haven't gone light, it is wonderful. And the thing that's the neat about this light pack business is that once you get light and you get really light, then it's a simple test. You can put back in the things that make you feel good or things that protect you from things you're worried about, like the bugs, as Bob mentioned. But safety is important. And the ruck does a really good job of that.
Right. Well, I want to mention that you don't even hike trails. You use the trails to get in to go hiking.
Yes, right. I'm generally an off-trail guy.
Yeah, cross-country stuff. So
it's worth noting that the light and ultra-lightweight hiking are strategies as much about how you do things as they are about gear. You can be safe carrying light gear, but there are parameters in terms of the season or how much distance you might expect or what other safety protocols you're following. So it's all part of an integrated systems approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing with long distance hiking, be it just, 40, 50, 100 miles, whatever it is, that's the journey. It's that's the trip. That is the hike. And, we joke about, if I went into one of the local lakes for 3 or 4 days to do some fishing, I'd probably carry a 45-pound pack because I'd want some of those other comforts. When I'm trying to go from, here to there and, you know, covering miles, I want my walking to be very pleasant and enjoyable. So I'm willing to sacrifice some of that. And sacrifice really isn't a good word for that because I don't feel like I'm giving up anything.
There's a time when butter and garlic do become necessities.
right. Yeah. Carrying fresh apples. I get to the point where I buy apples in town and I walk out with 4 or 5 apples because I've, you know, got to have that fresh fruit. But
so the planning for the trip starts with, in some ways, this decision matrix about how is one going to hike and what's the gear they're going to use. But then there's other factors that play into that. Again, the timing for trails so that you're not trying to take a lightweight tarp out during the potential snow season in the North Cascades. So so there's the planning considerations that the ruck will spend some time on too.
Right, right. The seasons, pretty much if you're going to do the Continental Divide, you're going to be in snow at one end or the other. Colorado, if you're going straight through, you're going to hit it one end or the other. Or usually you start, if you're starting in Montana, you're going to be hiking in the snow.
So there's some trail-specific considerations, too, that might drive a shift in timing strategies or gear strategies.
Right. In all of these trails, you can also break them down into bites. That's what's so great about these trails. You feel like you can only take 4 or 5 days at a time. You could just about do a trail over the course of a few years, you know?
And of course, there's budgeting impacts too on that. I've had some friends who have chunked into parts the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail and done them over 2 decades. And you look at the travel expenses that they've incurred, the time off from work just to travel to and from the trail, the bus tickets, the airline tickets over 20 years is quite substantial.
Right, right.
So it's counterintuitive, but in some ways the big chunk can overall be less costly than a lot of small chunks.
Right. And some of the folks that will be there at the ruck and talking about the planning and preparing, they live their life for the trail. They take off for months at a time every year, and they have a lifestyle that facilitates that. And I wouldn't say they're living in poverty at all,
You do make some lifestyle. You may make some lifestyle choices to accommodate your habit of through hiking.
Right. And I look at the success of Snorkel, and what she does. And Snorkel, Liz Thomas, will be here. In fact, I think she's going to spend some time with you.
Yeah. Right? Well, she's going to be doing some book signings around the area, and she'll be on the show next week.
Oh, great. Yeah. And her book is just great. In fact, we took the book and kind of followed the outline of the book for the ruck.
So let's talk about the book is a new book by author Liz Thomas, a long-distance hiker extraordinaire, The Long Trails, A Thru-Hiker's Guide to Backpacking, and recently out by Falcon Press Backpacker Magazine in the last year and won a book award last December, National Outdoor Book Award for Best Outdoor Guide.
Right, right. And we took her format and, she talks about breaking it down and planning. One of the other things that we're throwing in towards the end of the ruck is how to savor the trip. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing it by section or otherwise, there are common things that a lot of us get out of this and how to look for that and enjoy that and feel that. Mm-hmm.
So we know Liz Thomas Snorkel is coming to present. Of course, you'll be doing some of that. Who are some of the other speakers, presenters? Who are some of the folks who are coming in with through hiking street cred, as it were, trail cred?
Right. Okay, Jeff Kish. Jeff hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and I believe it was next summer, went and did the Pacific Northwest Trail. And I believe he became one of the first people to finish, one of the few people at that time. And then he got so involved with that he eventually became executive director. So Jeff will be there. Whitney Allgood will be there. He's a long-distance hiker. He's been president of Alta West now for 3-4 years. And just very dynamic and excited about the mission.
Has pioneered a couple through hikes. These hikes don't have to be trails others have trodden. Some have gone out and found or made their own path.
Right. The Chinook Trail comes to mind because I didn't even know it existed, and it was more of an idea than a trail, I believe.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing that's happening in the long distance hiking community now. More trails are being created, and I one of my favorites is the Hayduke Trail.
Oh, yeah.
Which in many places is a technical rock climb. Yeah. I mean, it's very obscure. And
we throw around this term trail somewhat loosely in some of those cases where a route on a map might be a better apt description.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And speaking of the Hayduke, one of my heroines, I guess, Drop and Roll is going to be here. They did that to... 2 years ago, I think it was, she did that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was last. Anyway, they drove and dropped off bikes at the end of where they were going to end, and then went to the northern part, hiked the trail, got on their bikes, and rode back to their cars. Mm. And I just thought, man, that is epic. That's one of the things that's starting to happen, and I think in the hiking community is I think the women are really starting to take the lead, and you know, there's some incredible things, adventures that are going on, and some people with, you know, snorkel and her adventures. We've got other folks that have done, you know, the trails in Australia, New Zealand, and so
there's certainly no gender barrier.
It's not a guy sport specifically. No.
And one of the great things about the ruck is there will be the presentations, the formal presentations, if you will, but there's lots of opportunity to visit offline with these folks that have done these trails, and you can go pick up some really good tidbits on some places. Even if you don't want to hike the entire trail, you could do the section hikes.
Right,
which is why people should stay for the social hour after the end of the formal program.
The social hour, yes. Right.
Not to mention the great beer that you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, this year we have a facility that we're going to have a keg of beer and some treats and stuff after the ruck, so that you do get that time right there to visit with these people that you've listened to all day.
That's where a lot of great ideas are hatched.
Right. And
what should I do next year? And comparing notes with somebody over a beer has often been known to provide inspiration.
Yeah. So, and that'll be right after at the facility. You don't have to travel anywhere. And we're excited about
that. So there are two important ruck topics that we should talk a little bit about so that folks know that they're on the agenda. And one of them is trail etiquette, which is a rising need with the rising popularity of the sport and impact or potential impact on both trails and towns.
Right. Behavior is becoming kind of an issue. And we need to be responsible as hikers, because no matter who you are and what piece you're doing or whatever, you represent the trail community. And so there have been incidents where some communities have been a little bit upset. And so we're trying to educate the people about, you know, when you go into town, nobody owes you anything. Be polite, we'll hit on that. And then the other one is the leave no trace. We're loving our trails to death. I hiked on the Arizona Trail a little last year, and I thought, well, this is, you know, nobody's hiking this. I hiked for days and didn't see anyone. But I saw the trash. I saw and it's hiker trash. It's the stuff that, you know, that hikers leave. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to be doing that everywhere and really getting people aware of the consequence.
I think it's education about individuals' impact, but it's also education about how individuals can help stem the tide of the problem, how they can be good ambassadors. And actually turn things around, be proactive that way.
Correct.
And that's a really great function that Alda West provides, is that because of the popularity of the movies and the books about some of the long trails like the PCT, there are more and more people getting out there. Not all of those people really have the same kind of ethics and the same kind of behavior that we'd like to think they should have. And so groups like Alda West can teach people trail etiquette, and then ask them to become good ambassadors.
Right.
There's a panel on safety, which some people might go, well, what's unsafe about those trails? How dangerous can they be? What are some of the concerns?
Yeah, especially after last year, stream crossings is going to be a big issue. Last year, there were a couple of deaths on the Pacific Crest Trail, mostly involved stream crossing. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that. We'll talk about...
And that's useful information to anyone, not just a long-distance trail.
Sure.
Near Sierra Nevada last year had record snow depths, which leads to record spring runoffs. And we only need to look up to the mountains around here to see maybe not record snowpack, but some pretty darn high snowpack, which will lead to some pretty darn high runoff.
Right.
So how to cross the stream safely is really important. How to cross the stream.
And then bear country. You know, that's an issue right up north of here on the PNT. What to do with your food and how to be responsible for that.
That's an issue in your backyard in Coeur d'Alene up on Canfield Mountain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And we're not far from that. Yeah. So we look at that mountain every day. So those type of safety issues. We'll talk about water safety in terms of treating your water. That's some people I know don't treat it at all and they've never gotten sick, but that's also a gamble too.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about all of those type of things. So staying healthy on the trail.
There's risk assessment and there's strategies about how to avoid problems and also a little bit about what to do if you find yourself in a tight spot.
Right. And then how to say no. I mean, that's not exactly the topic, but you know, you get into a crowd of people and they get to that point where you go, I'm not going up there. Mm-hmm. How you can say that, how you can convey that, and knowing what your limit is.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, I'll put a plug in here. There won't be time on a one-hour panel to go into a wilderness first aid training class, but those classes are available locally along with wilderness first responder. And they're very good for your partner, for you to take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the more people who are knowledgeable and certified, then the safer the backcountry experience is for everyone.
Right, right, yeah. Yes, and then another one is that we have the Spokane Mountaineers will be there, and they do a basic backpacking class in the spring. So it'll be starting in the next couple of weeks, I believe it is. And so if somebody comes to this and goes, gee, I don't have enough skills for that, well, there's this step to get out and get going, and we kind of direct our stuff to people who are already used to going out, and they just want to extend that. They want to make that a little more enjoyable. They want to go a little further, you know. And that's where our focus is.
So we're running close to the time we need to wrap up. One more time, the event is this Saturday at what time?
The doors open at 8:00. We will start by 8:30.
And the location?
Okay, the location is at the Hayden Eagles, and it's at 1520 West Hayden Avenue, or Wyoming Avenue, excuse me, Wyoming Avenue in Hayden, Idaho.
And it'll run all day until 4-ish.
Yeah, the schedule goes from 8:30 to 4. That includes a lunch and snacks and beverages. And then at 4, we'll have the social hour. And the social hour is a social hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is. We have, it's open-ended.
And how does someone sign up?
Go to aldowest.org and sign up. We have, it's registration online. That helps us make plans for the lunch and everything. If you do come in at the door, it's $35 at the door. And so you can register at the last minute just walking in.
Okay. Well, before we go, any closing thoughts about the ruck or the topics we've talked about? I'll start with you, Tom. You look like you have a closing thought.
But I do. My goodness, you can tell when I'm thinking. No, I would encourage someone, whether they are an experienced backpacker or someone thinking about getting into it. As Bob said, that generally they consider people there to have some experience. But I've also met some people there that haven't been backpacking before. And it's just fantastic training and a great opportunity to talk with people that have done it and really know what they're talking about.
Right.
Bob, as always, it's great to have you on the show again.
Well, yeah, and good to be back again.
Yep. So thank you both for coming in today. If you are just tuning in, there will be a podcast available later. We've been talking this morning with Tom Dabrowski, president of Idaho Trails Association, and Bob Turner, past president of American Long Distance Hiking West, about this upcoming ruck this weekend. And this is 88.5 KRFY. You can listen to our podcasts at krfy.org. We're going to segue to the community calendar. But first, we have a song by the Left Bank,